Well, as we continue on this morning, it's been a rich morning of thinking about how we are joined together as the body of Christ. And we've seen this demonstrated in so many different ways. We've seen the gift of prophecy demonstrated here. We've seen the idea that we pray with one another, that we support one another. We've been participating in an incredible way. And so I want to remind you this morning of this, I don't know if you have this insert in your bulletin, but it's the sevenfold way of Jesus. It's just seven markers of a follower of Christ. And we've been going through this for the last couple months, actually, and we're wrapping it up today in this series called His. And the idea is that together we are on mission. And so it all kind of comes together with this final message. And it's this idea that, first of all, that we think about his life. And it's this idea that I've begun to follow Jesus and I'm depending on the Spirit of Jesus in my journey. Brian Archer spoke to us about this idea of depending on the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit who gives us strength to walk each day. And then his mission, I'm being sent by Jesus to bless others and to invite them to follow him. Have you ever thought that your posture, just the way that you treat others around you, can actually be an invitation to follow Jesus? It's a crazy thing in a lot of ways, but the Holy Spirit, who we're depending on, is working through our interactions. That's the intention, right? So when you go and they mess up your order somewhere, you know, at some fast food place or whatever, and you're mad about that and you react, then that's when you stop yourself and you say, am I seeking to bless others right now? Am I reflecting the light and love of Jesus in this moment? And then that leads us to his character, and Alan spoke on this. I'm learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, behaviors, and character. That character piece that flows through all that we do. And then his love. I'm learning to love God and to love others. And we talked a bit about having a good eye, a generous spirit, as we try to love those around us. His teachings, that I'm learning the teachings of Jesus. How do these take root in my life? And then last week with the baptism, we were talking about briefly about his disciples, that we are helping someone and someone is helping me to be a growing follower of Jesus. Now, I went away from the baptism and I've had some great feedback, people sharing how it encouraged them, it moved them to see Michaela take this step of baptism. And some were saying, how come it's been so long, or how come only one? And I asked the same question, but we move on with thinking about this. I realized that we made such a big deal of it. You know, it's kind of like when you just get so excited that we lavish all this on. We go, you're doing so awesome. And so we piled that on Michaela, and she took the brunt of it all on our behalf. And then I was thinking, wow, there's probably some of you who are sitting in this room who are going, really? Like, everyone's going to be, you know, I'm going to be the center of that moment. And it might have been intimidating for you. So let me just throw this thought out. If we're in community, the baptism tank can be used other times, right? Other than just on a Sunday morning. So if it's the large crowd and the cake that's intimidating to you, the other way that I throw this out to small group leaders, you know, would it be something that your small group would want to do? We'll fill up the tank. We'll get it all ready for you, and you come over as a small group and have a time together, invite others if you want. But wouldn't it be awesome if we, together as a small group of Christ followers, support one another in such a way that we stand around the tank, someone is baptized, and we then walk this journey of life together with them. Very open to that as well. And so it doesn't have to be just on a Sunday morning in front of, you know, a couple hundred people. And then this idea that today we're going to be talking about his community. I'm participating in community, in a community of followers of Jesus on mission to the world. And we've already introduced that, but I'm going to ask a couple of my helpers. We're going to do this in a different way. And when you do something different, so Jesus and Sam, why don't you come on up. When you do something different, there are bound to be some new things that you didn't think through. And so in my head, this seemed like a great idea, And we'll see how this works out. Yeah, I'm not sure this one too. Here you go. So Sam and Jesus are going to help me out, and we're going to work through, I guess you can't really see him, we're going to work through Romans 12. So you can turn in your Bibles to Romans 12, and I wanted to demonstrate something just with this very topic, that the idea that we are in a community means that we have many different gifts, many different giftings, personalities, stories that are all woven together into one. And so that is very cool. It's what makes us uniquely Bonavista EMC, right? And we take on this flavor here in terms of, I invited Sam up here basically because I wanted him to listen to one of my sermons once. So this is the only way I could do it. I just thought if you're all staring at him, then I'm just kidding. Poor Sam. Sam is in two of my small groups. So we have young adults that meet every other week at my house. So Sam and Sagan come to that, and then I have a young marrieds group, and it turns out Sam and Sagan come to that as well. So we see a lot of each other. It's okay. And Jesus is going to read the English, and Sam will read the Spanish. So that'll be great.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I was thinking it'd be great to hear this in different versions, and I thought, why not the Spanish version as well? So we're going to read through, and the reason they have to sit here is because we're going to do a few verses at a time. I'll make some commentary in between, we'll read some more, and that's where it gets pretty fuzzy for all of us up here, so that's why the experiment. So it's in the context of relationship and community that we can most effectively live out this apprenticeship journey. Is this thought that, you know, together in relationship, we are trying to be like Jesus. So in this, I was drawn to Romans 12 because I think that it articulates so much of what we're trying to say with the sevenfold way of Jesus. I was struck by reading Romans that the first 11 chapters of Romans talks a lot about grace, about that this gift that comes through Jesus is poured out on us, that we are drawn into relationship with him. But it goes for Jews, non-Jews, all of us are in this together. We all need the forgiveness of Jesus. And then it turns a corner in Romans 12 and starts to say, now this is how you can live it out. And there's some very practical steps, and I think they're very applicable even in this week itself. So go ahead, Sam.
Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Por lo tanto, hermanos, tomando en cuenta la misericordia de Dios, le ruego que cada uno de ustedes, en adoración espiritual, ofrezcan su cuerpo como sacrificio vivo, santo y agradable a Dios. No se amolden al mundo actual, sino sean transformados mediante la renovación de su mente y así podrán comprobar cuál es la voluntad de Dios, buena, agradable y perfecta.
And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So in view of God's mercy, live fully for God. When we think about all that God has done for us, how he's poured out his love through Jesus Christ on us, it affects the way we live. And we want to respond to what he's doing. And so our act of worship is to offer all of ourselves to him. And we say, God, my spirit, my mind, my soul, my strength, everything I give to you to use. Just work through me and make yourself visible through my actions and in all that I do. my thinking and everything. So we offer ourselves to serve him. And then we live this living out this Christ-centered life, this others-focused kind of lifestyle, will actually stand in contrast to the society around us. One that's very me first, and I want what I want, and it's about getting ahead, it's the competition, all of those things. But it's countercultural when we say, no, I want to live for Jesus. I want to give myself fully to him and to reflect his love, his character to others around me. When we live in this way, it's like what Philippians said. It's this idea of looking out for the interests of others, that we take on the very attitude of Jesus and we show his life is in us. So this demonstrates that we're being transformed from the inside out.
For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others.
Por la gracia que se me ha dado, les digo a todos ustedes, nadie tenga un concepto de sí más alto que el que debe tener, sino más bien piense en sí mismo con moderación, según la medida de fe que Dios le haya dado. Pues así, como cada uno de nosotros tiene un solo cuerpo, con muchos miembros, y no todos estos miembros desempeñan la misma función, también nosotros, siendo muchos, formamos un solo cuerpo en Cristo, y cada miembro está unido a todos los demás.
Because of the privilege and authority of God that God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think that you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. I love the way the New Living says it in that sense, that says we all belong to each other, the body. When we give our lives to Jesus and we seek to live like him, then we're joined together in this spiritual body, his church, and we're participating in this community that's on mission to the world, that lives out the purposes of God in this context. So it's easy to become prideful and critical of others, isn't it? We can start to look at one another and we can say, you know, those guys, they just do not get it. It might be people outside these walls. It might be people on your Facebook rants that decide to respond to all sorts of things. But we all live it out in a variety of ways, this Christian life, and we have these nuances, these differences that make us unique in the world. But we need to be careful that we don't become prideful and lose sight of the fact that it's Jesus who works in us and saves us. We are all on a journey of faith that changes shape as we move through life. I was thinking about, as Zach talks about his experience at Ambrose these days, I am sadly taken back to my 20-year-old days at Bible school, and I realized how much I have grown as Zach was talking about some different things within the residence, and I'm like, oh man, why are they doing that, right? And then I was thinking, oh yeah, that's right. And so we all grow and change, and we need to give each other room to develop, to become transformed, and to allow the character of Christ to change us and to mold us, right? So we belong to each other. We're all necessary and vital to this task. But sadly, as we say we've all been gifted by God and that he wants to use us, I'm guessing that there's quite a few of you in this room that say, what does it look like? Like, what am I supposed to do? I'm not on the board. I don't sing. I don't know where I fit in the church. And we lose sight of the fact that the church is so much more than the program, the institution of this place here, right? That we are part of Christ's body. So you may wonder how you fit and what your role is, but we carry on.
We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully.
Tenemos dones diferentes, según la gracia que se nos ha dado. Si el don de alguien es el de profecía, que lo use en proporción con su fe. Si es el de prestar un servicio, que lo preste. Si es el de enseñar, que enseñe. Si es el de animar a otros, que los anime. Si es el de socorrer a los necesitados, que dé con generosidad. Si es el de dirigir, que dirija con esmero. Si es el de mostrar compasión, que lo haga con alegría.
In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. And if you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. And if God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. We have different gifts, and these are to strengthen this community. I love the fact that Paul does not specify that each gift should be lived out in this way, in certain ways, but he gives the qualities, the characteristics of this. Some people love to be generous. They just seem to be able to give the right gift to the person who goes, "Wow, how did you know that that's exactly what I needed?" And I know people who have that gift of generosity. Sometimes they go, maybe it's kind of silly. Like, I just was thinking that they might like, you know, this unique kind of, what's something? Why does a tea cozy come in my head? Anyway, it's because what's on my mind, I don't know. So you find a tea cozy, whatever that is. Is that that thing that wraps around the teacup? Oh, man. Okay. So you get this little fabric warmer thing, this tea cozy, and you say, "I know exactly who would want this. Francois would love this," right? And so you go, "Is this kind of silly? This is ridiculous. It has, you know, a maple leaf on the side. It just can't. It must be for Francois." And so you hand it to him, and he loves it. No, he wouldn't. As we think about this idea that comes into your mind, and you go, "Should I act on that?" Well, yes, you should. If you've been given the gift of generosity, if you go, "I wonder if they would appreciate this," that could be that God is prompting you to do something that would make their day in a way that you would never know how or why. If you find joy in doing that, then do it more. For some of you, you have the ability to speak into someone's life in a powerful way. This morning, David demonstrated the gift of prophecy. And now, some of us think that prophecy is simply about telling the future. But that's not actually how the prophecy works. Prophecy is also about sharing what you believe God is wanting someone or some people to know, and that He wants to speak to them. And we heard that very clearly this morning. It was a reminder of God's heart, His power, His love for us. Great demonstration. And that's what we can do. Now, some of you find yourselves doing that in more one-on-one interactions with people. And you find yourself just talking to someone and you say, "You know, God, like, He loves you," and you want to speak into Him that way. Or else a verse comes to mind and you think, "Here's a verse that I would love to give to this person." I had this happen to me on a number of occasions. I've used this verse with you, actually, over the years, year and a bit. Anyway, I've used this verse many times over the years. It's that one that says, you know, "So take a new grip, you know, with your tired hands and stand on your shaky legs." And that verse has come to mind in certain situations with people who are dealing with chronic illness or something. And so I've been prompted to give them that verse. I did that in Cambodia, actually. I had no word of English, but there's this one guy who was struggling. I think it was a war injury, and was having all kinds of trouble. And so I wrote out the verse and gave it to someone to translate. And just that God had prompted me to do that. That's a gift of prophecy, actually. It's discernment as well, but it's like being able to speak God's love in such a way that you encourage someone else. And so if you have that gift, we'd love to talk to you, because we have a prayer time after the service, right? And that's a great place to utilize that gift, to be able to encourage people. Or if My daughter writes it, actually. She writes letters to people in such a way that it's clearly God has prompted her to say something to someone. And I think that's an awesome gift. And so some of you have that gift and should use it more. Some of you are real influencers. You're leaders. And you just seem to be able to encourage people in a certain way. That might happen in the church context, not necessarily on the board. But it also might happen in your workplace, that God is using you to change a toxic corporate culture that's so hard to go against the grain on. Maybe God is using you in those leadership ways. If he's giving you that gift of influence, then do it more in your class, in your team, whatever it might be. And so then some of you may also have the gift of compassion and mercy. You just find yourself forever coming alongside the really hard situations, and you just, for whatever reason, you're a magnet for all the dysfunction in the world, you know, and you just seem to be that person that can be there, and you actually thrive in that environment. That's a gift of mercy that should be utilized, that we need as the body. And we're looking at some things actually in the church. I'll just say, we have, you know, the benevolent committee, and some people don't know the word benevolent is simply, you know, that's lavishing, caring for people, doing these things. Well, we have our benevolent fund, we have all these things, but we need a team of people, a benevolent team. Probably wouldn't keep that name, might turn into something more like compassion team or something. But if you love this kind of stuff and you want to come alongside people in tangible ways, I want to talk to you, because we need to start developing this team in a bigger way. That's using that gift. The point of all of this is that God has wired us uniquely, and that is for the benefit of all of us in this church, but also the global church, his body.
Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality.
El amor debe ser sincero. Aborrezcan el mal, aférrense al bien. Ámense los unos a los otros con amor fraternal, respetándose y honrándose mutuamente. No dejen de ser diligentes. Antes bien, sirvan al Señor con el fervor que da el Espíritu. Alégrense de la esperanza, muestren paciencia en el sufrimiento, perseveren en la oración. Ayuden a sus hermanos necesitados, practiquen la hospitalidad.
So don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them, always eager to practice hospitality. This genuine love is demonstrated through relationship, and it's this real love that requires time and energy. It's not the simplistic emotion, but requires that we care for one another wholeheartedly. It takes us into places that are sometimes awkward and uncomfortable. Yeah, it's annoying, this real love thing. It's like going beyond what you are wanting to do sometimes, and it's like, no, this is important, and I must do this. Those situations can take you away from things that you might have had planned already, might change your schedule, your agenda. But we're called to live such genuine lives that people are drawn to our authenticity, this is real, that we really do love people. Hospitality, then, we should always be eager to practice hospitality. This focuses on taking care of strangers and guests. Our homes, hearts, and pockets must be open to serve them, the African Bible Commentary says. And it says that we must open our hearts and our pockets to care for others. Never thought of giving as a hospitality thing, but it makes sense that you're trying to care for somebody's need, whatever it might be. And so that might be inviting them over for dinner, or it might be offering to buy somebody coffee when you see them. Always be eager to practice this hospitality. there are some of you who shine in this area. You're able to add 2, 3, 4 plates to your meal, and it doesn't seem to affect anything. You found an extra way to do this, and you just throw a couple more, you know, scoops in there. And so God has gifted you with a gift that we all need in our church, in our lives. And if you love hosting people, then you should be about doing that. And I'll give you my phone number. But you know, it's changing our agenda. I think that's probably the hardest thing about hospitality is when somebody, you have a plan and somebody derails your plan, are you still gracious and willing to offer that hospitality? Has this God-ordained, you know, divine interruption, has that made you mad or frustrated? Or is it that you're saying, wow, I could host these people, I could help somebody out, I could spend some time with someone? Is it Hebrews that says, you know, that some have hosted these strangers and they found out that there were angels in the midst? Have you ever done that where you've gone by somebody and said, oh, I should have stopped and helped them out, I should have picked them up, and I've actually turned around, gone back, and they weren't there? And I'm like, oh, I missed that moment. Could have been my little angel moment, but actually it was probably this person decided to, somebody else picked them up and got the opportunity to interact with them in a way that I didn't. But these people that come into our lives are God opportunities for each of us. Go ahead, Sam.
Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited.
Bendigan a quienes los persiguen. Bendigan y no maldigan. Alégrense con los que están alegres, lloren con los que lloran. Vivan en armonía los unos con los otros, no sean arrogantes, sino háganse solidarios con los humildes. No se crean los únicos que saben.
Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other, and don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. So we're called to be a blessing to others and to invite them to follow Jesus. But Paul, now he shifts the emphasis from caring for those within the body of Christ, those who are Christ followers, and he shifts that to be more of how we can demonstrate love by responding to the actions and emotions of others, both inside and outside the church. This can be hard to walk alongside somebody, especially when they're grieving, because we don't do well with grieving, right? It's like, we'll give you a week, we'll give you 10 days, now let's get on with it, right? Like, life has started, you've got to just move on. And that can be so hurtful and hard for someone who's in the midst of deep grief, because you don't just get over something. And there are moments where you think somebody's tracking fine, and then they're brought right back to the source of that grief and pain. And so there's moments of reminding and hardship that go along. Are you willing to walk that long path with someone and to give them the space to grieve? It can also be more than just losing a loved one. It could also be the loss of a dream. I had a situation come up just a week ago, and I realized that something I'd really wanted once in my life didn't work out the way I'd wanted. And all of a sudden, I was back in this place. And so I was wrestling with, am I willing to dream again? Am I willing to trust God for some of these things? And so for some of you, maybe it's a loss of a job or something that has happened, and there's been these hurts, and are you willing to trust God again? You need people alongside you that can walk and with you and help you through that. Or maybe you could be that person. The other one that can be hard to support is when somebody's finding joy and success. People that are super, super happy about something can be very hard to deal with, because I don't feel that way. And I'm maybe even feeling a little jealous and frustrated that they seem to have everything work out for them and it's not working out for me. And so it's hard to celebrate with someone who's in a celebratory mood. It's hard to be excited for them and to walk alongside sincerely, genuinely. And yet we need to do that as we help one another. So to weep with those who weep, to be happy with those who are happy, and not to all of a sudden begin to compare ourselves to them and go, why is their life so great and mine stinks, right? And so it's not about comparisons. It's actually about them, helping them to enjoy that moment in their lives. And so we want to celebrate with those who are celebrating. Go ahead.
Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
No paguen a nadie mal por bien. Procuren hacer lo bueno delante de todos. Si es posible, y en cuanto dependa de ustedes, vivan en paz con todos. No tomen venganza, hermanos míos, sino dejen el castigo en las manos de Dios, porque está escrito, mía es la venganza, yo pagaré, dice el Señor. Antes bien, si tu enemigo tiene hambre, dale de comer. Si tiene sed, dale de beber. Actuando así, harás que se avergüence de su conducta. No te dejes vencer por el mal. Al contrario, vence el mal con el bien.
Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scriptures say, "I will take revenge, I will pay back," says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. So do all you can to live in peace with everyone. The NIV says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Transforming initiatives are these things that you do that are kind of when you're at a stalemate and it feels like, well, who's going to give in first in this confrontation that we have? A transforming initiative is something that you do that helps to break down some of the walls, some of the barriers between you and another person or another party. And so we initiate peacemaking opportunities wherever we can. And we do this by loving those who curse us, and we pray for those who have offended us. Difficult message, right? This part of it, this week, in light of all the events that we've been thinking about. In light of all of the refugee talk and all of the for and against language, I'm drawn to Romans 12. There's so much hatred and fear that's all around us, but we have the opportunity to live out a different way of life. We can be transformed from the inside out by the renewing of our minds, and this translates into love and action. We stand in contrast to a world of fear. We embody hope, and we do not grieve as those who have no hope, because we know there's so much more than what we see around us. We do not pace the floor like we serve a God who does not know or care. Instead, we have this confident hope that comes through Jesus Christ. I know it looks like quite a few of you have signed up for Right Now Media, and that's awesome. But there's one that they just were promoting. It's called Thriving in Babylon. It's by Larry Osborne, is the one. And I was watching one last night, and it came up with 2 Timothy 3, verse 23. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. By the way, you should put this on your computer. It's on your Facebook profile. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change these people's hearts, and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. The thought is that we aren't these enemies that we think we have, that's not the real enemy. The enemy is the one who has them in bondage and who is attacking them from in other ways. And so we keep that perspective and remember who is created by God and the fact that we need to love all people. So when Jesus said in Matthew, 25, read both, they're good. he said, you know, whatever you do to the least of these, right? And he says, is that 24 or 25? They did. Oh, right, whatever, you can read it. He says, you know, when did we see you, Lord? When, you know, when were you naked? When were you oppressed? When, you know, like, when were you in bondage? All these things. And he said, whatever you did to the least of these, you've done unto me. And I think of these verses that say that as far as it is for us, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. In other words, your love for God, just everything that they thought they knew about Jesus and everything that they thought they knew about Christians, that they've heard, all their rhetoric, they're ashamed to think that they actually believed those things because they weren't true. And so they realize that there's something so much more. So don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. So we're participating in a community on mission to the world. As we conclude, and I'll... thanks, you guys, by the way. Thank you for helping us out this morning. Yeah. As we conclude, and I'll ask the worship team to come on up if you want. I was brought back to Romans... we'll talk about this as we conclude, but Romans 12, this idea of being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we'd be made whole from the inside out, and that we'd reflect the light and love of Jesus, is an incredible thing because we need one another to do this. We're part of the body and we need one another. So let me pray for you. Lord, we thank you so much for your love for us, for your transforming work that happens through Jesus and by the Spirit of Jesus that's at work in each one of us. May we be winsome, that we would draw people to you by your Holy Spirit working through us, that we would be a blessing to others, that we would reveal your character in our behaviors and our actions, that we would be drawn into you, into loving others in a way that reflects your love. And so I pray that Bonavista Vista would no longer be the same, that day by day we would change, that we wouldn't stay the same, but that we would be on mission to reach our world for you. Our world that starts at home and is in our neighborhood and goes beyond those areas, Lord, into the globe. We pray that you will use this body for your glory. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.